Today's episode of Expanded Perspectives is sponsored by Gaia.com. Help find your own truth by exploring perspectives you won't find in the mainstream on some of life's biggest mysteries. Whether it's grand conspiracies, breakaway societies, UFOs, ancient civilizations, lost wisdom, as well as the paranormal, all at your fingertips. Stream videos anywhere from your living room or on the go with the Gaia app, available through the App Store or Google Play, which gives you access to over 7,000 titles, all available to you with a monthly plan for only $9.95 a month. If you sign up now, your first month is only 99 cents. There are multiple plans to choose from, including a 3-month plan and an annual plan. You'll have access to incredible shows available only on Gaia, like Truth Hunter, Buzzsaw, Cosmic Disclosure, Beyond Belief, Missing Links, Hidden Origins, and Deep Space, and much, much more. Gaia is available on your Android or iPhone, Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV. If you enjoy expanding your perspective, then you'll enjoy Gaia.com. That's GAIA.com/expanded perspectives. All one word, folks. GAIA.com/expanded perspectives. Let's start the show.
Out there, folks, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. That's right, it's me, it's Cam, with the sultry, I don't know, wheezing, almost dead voice, and sitting across the table from me. He's suffering from the same thing because he likes to burn grass with a hood on. His name? The Great Beast, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? I'm here. Yes, the allergies are now affecting me, affecting my voice.
It's because he kissed me when we left the last time. He was all excited Thursday. He's like, man, I love you so much. Thanks for doing the show with me. And he gave me a big one. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to get you sick.
Yeah, man, I don't know what it is. I don't know what's in the air. But, man, I haven't been sneezing a lot. But, man, my voice just sounds cracky. And I feel like I'm constantly having to clear my throat.
I feel like I got that Marvin Gaye voice. I want sexual healing.
You know what I hate is, like, not when you actually have a severe cough, but like when you don't have a cough, but you're like forcing yourself to because you constantly feel that tickle in your throat.
Yes.
That it gets so annoying.
Yeah.
I saw where several people sent us this link. This is pretty funny because we talk about the robot uprising all the time on the show.
Oh, no.
Did you see where the Nightscope K5 robot drove itself into the water fountain at that office complex?
It's the same robot we discussed a while back.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about it before. And, you know, of course, the headline grabs are talking about how it drowned itself.
Yeah, because it hated its job. Yeah, it hated its job. It's like, that's enough. I've had it.
Well, it just goes to show you that as advanced as these robots are, there's still a lot of stuff they still got.
We're still working on a little bit more. A few kinks, a few bugs, a few problems.
It always reminds me of the people that are like in school that are like super, super book smart, but they just don't have any street smarts. So you're like, how can you be so intelligent, but then just not make dumb mistakes.
We both
like
got
you
family members that are that way.
Yeah, it's
that
funny
you're
to
just
see.
Like, man, they're so almost said, but I'm not going to say. But so and so is so smart.
That's what reminds me.
But
that's what I think about when I see this robot. You know, obviously the thing is super advanced, it's super intelligent, but yet doesn't have common sense enough not to drive off into the water fountain.
Maybe it saw a crime going on.
They forgot to program that part. Yeah. You know,
maybe somebody threw trash in the fountain and it was like, all right, I'm going to report that. It just goes, I can handle it. It thought it was waterproof.
Or it's not. It's kind of like a kid. I mean, like, I see my boys, they make some dumb mistakes, and you're like, really? Don't you know better than that? And then you're like, well, maybe they don't know better than that.
Yeah, right. They learned. That robot learned the hard way. He didn't buff out.
Well, that's often the best way to learn things, is the hard way. You tend not to forget it if you learn it the hard
but
way.
But it killed the robot. They're going to have to take him and air him out and rebuild him.
Stuff him in a big bag of rice.
That's right.
Dry him out.
Yeah. Put him in a sack of rice. He'll
so
be
what have you been up to, man?
Man, oh, man. Just working, monkeying around the house. You know how that goes. Happy anniversary to you, sir.
Well, thank you.
I know y'all had a good time over the weekend, so.
Yeah, we got to, well, we didn't get to do a whole lot. We got to go out and have a nice dinner, and we went to one of our favorite steak joints. But I have to say, the steak wasn't as good as normal. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you said you was kind of let down with it.
I've been there 100 times. It's the first time I've ever been there and not been super thrilled about it. And I don't know what happened. If they got just a bad shipment, they got a hold of a bad Angus. I don't know what happened.
Was there marks on it where the jockey had still been hitting it?
Yeah.
Every time I think of a bad steak, I think of Caddyshack.
Yeah, right.
Oh, darling, you must have been something before electricity.
Yeah.
I got you something here that's something before electricity, bruh. Enough with the shenanigans. I found this on the interwebs. Cryptozoology News reports.
Mm.
Michigan woman claims dogman sighting.
Really? Another one.
I like this description, too, whenever I get to this. A woman on this past Sunday said she spotted a humanoid in Oakland County. 20-year-old lady named LB, she didn't want to go, you know, use her full name, of course, said that she was driving on an undisclosed Michigan road when she came upon this unidentified beast. This is what she says. I was driving and looked at the side of the road because I saw something large move. Now, this was a midday encounter, so this wasn't like, you know, this is midday.
Right.
She said, I noticed it right away. Now, she describes this humanoid as having a dog head and a man's body. Now, this is the great part. It looked like a fit man, although covered slightly in hair. And it had the head of a gray dog and was very tall.
Hmm.
So that leaves you out. And it says fit man. And she says it was swaying back and forth. She said it was swaying strangely. Something like I've never seen a creature move before. Like nothing like that she's ever witnessed. The way this thing was kind of moving around. So she did a little sketch, but her artistic work's probably not the best. I mean, I don't even know what to tell you this sketch is, but I like how she described it as instead of it being an upright dog,
right?
It is a fit man with a dog's head.
With just a dog's head.
Now it's almost werewolf-esque when you start thinking about this.
What's this woman's name? OB?
LB.
Oh, I'm thinking of OB from like Hateful Eight. I think the stagecoach driver.
Yeah.
That's right, OB.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. But yeah, how wild. So now we've got true like American Werewolf in London kind of, you know, goings on now.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's wild. And she said slightly. Slightly covered in hair, so she could make out the
muscle definition and the physique and everything. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Speaking of crazy, this is pretty crazy. In 2016, experts uncovered 13 footprints, which they believe date back more than 3.6 million years.
What?
Yeah, these enigmatic footprints were discovered in modern-day Tanzania and were preserved for millions of years thanks to a region which at that time was covered with wet volcanic ash. Now, discovered in Tanzania, the footprints discovered by experts belong to a group of early humans who inhabited, you know, like I said, modern-day Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists believe that the enigmatic footprints were left behind by our ancient relatives, most likely Australopithecus afarensis, as they walked across a region covered with wet volcanic ash. The set of 13 footprints were discovered near Latoli, Tanzania, by scientists from the University of Rome. And the scientists suggested the footprints belonged to around 5 members of early humans who may have had a gorilla-like social arrangement where one dominant male mated with several females. The scientists say that the man, accompanied by around 4 women, is believed to have walked in the region at least 30 meters over this volcanic ash that later hardened into hard rock, leaving behind these fascinating evidence of our ancestors in Africa. Now, an article recently written by the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History said that the shape of the feet, along with the length and the configuration of the toes, show that the Laetoli footprints were made by an early human. And the only known early human in the region at that time was Australopithecus afarensis. In fact, they said fossils of Australopithecus afarensis were found nearby to the footprints and in the same sediment layer, which tells scientists that Australopithecus afarensis was in the area at the same time that these footprints were left, and that's most likely who left them. And while the discovery of these footprints itself is a major scientific find, experts say that the footprints show how a 2003 study by a group of researchers from Penn State University suggesting that Australopithecus afarensis only had one sexual partner is wrong. They think they were like gorillas, where there's one dominant silverback, you know, and he's mm-hmm. got a whole harem, of girl gorillas, and they think that's what's happening. So these aren't actual footprints left by humans. It's a human-like hominid mm-hmm. that was our direct ancestor. But 3.6 million years, there it was. Our that's ancestors is walking around upright, leaving these footprints. I mean, you think about 3.6 million years ago. And I think this is fascinating. Like, we were just talking about it, I think, a couple shows ago, or maybe it was privately. There was a discovery up in Oklahoma. And apparently the original discovery took place like in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And no one ever really paid it much mind. And now they're going back in there and they're researching it. And I think it's showing that there was modern day humans living in that area of the world more than 200,000 years ago, yeah. 300,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So it seems like the timeline of when modern day humans were around keeps getting pushed back further and further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we know between Australopithecus afarensis and Homo sapiens is sometime between 3.6 million years and 300,000 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
A long time.
So what if we were here a million years ago?
Well,
you know, when we say Homo sapiens, I mean, you're talking about people like you and I that mm-hmm. had the same intelligence.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty smart.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, so this leads me to believe that why couldn't there have been, you know, a vast civilization, much different than the ones we have today, but it doesn't mean that there wasn't a large civilization.
Or just a small civilization of advanced people.
Exactly. Like we talk about all the time. We're in this studio right now with all this mm-hmm. technical equipment, this modern internet and everything. At the same time, there's a group in the middle of the jungle mm-hmm. living like people were living 4,000 years ago.
Exactly.
So why couldn't that have occurred, say, 400,000 years ago, where there was a small group of people, like you're saying, very advanced, able to write, able to do mathematics, able to create crazy structures and build things
and passed a little bit of this along.
And then there's other groups in other parts of the world where they were very, 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 very primitive,
and those groups just didn't survive.
Exactly.
The very primitive groups just didn't survive.
I think that happens. I think it's not as cut and dry as they teach you when you're in school.
Yeah, for sure it's not.
And I think that the main thing is a lot of people, they're taking their best guess at what happened when it comes to our timeline.
Much like us.
Yes,
we just take our guess at it.
There's no way you're going to know.
No.
Never going to know.
No, you're never going to know. We've had Mr. Lon Strickler on here before, and, you know, we've talked multiple lengths about this creature in Chicago that they keep seeing. Lon got an account.
We're still seeing it?
Yeah, and you're going to enjoy this because this is in Des Plaines, okay? But this is something that's completely off the scale for Mothman because I never thought of this. And when I read this to you, you're going to be like the light bulb come on. You're like, ooh, you're going to like this. This is what he got. Now, he received this last week, and it says this. On a summer evening in 2013, my son and I were leaving my friend's house, who lived outside of Des Plaines, Illinois. Her driveway is about a quarter of a mile long. There are no lights along the driveway. About halfway to the road, my son yelled out, "What's that?" I was startled and I slammed on my brakes. I said, "What are you yelling for?" "There in the tree," is what he pointed at. And I answered, "What are you looking at?" I glanced up into the tree and noticed talons wrapped around the large lower branch. Now, the tree was thick with foliage, so it was hard to make out what it was. I figured it was just an owl or an eagle. But as we watched, the tree began to move, like there was something very heavy in it. Now, the headlights were pointed directly at the tree, so there was some light. Then suddenly, a human-like figure dropped from the tree and landed upright on the ground in front of us.
What?
Yeah, get this. It was dark gray in color. As I looked at the clawed feet and muscular legs, I noticed the bottom tip of folded wings behind it. My eyes followed up the human-like body, which looked like dark gray skin. The head and face literally reminded me of a gargoyle. Snarling features and evil-looking. The eyes were large and reflected an orange color. I believe it also had short horns on the side of the head. Says, oh my God, what is that? And at the same time, my son begged me, let's go, let's go.
Yeah.
Says, the beast opened its huge wings and literally took off above the car, just up over it. Says, I called my friend on my cell phone as we were driving home. I told her what we witnessed. She was totally dumbfounded. She told me that she had never seen anything like that. While driving, I asked my son what he thought he saw, and he called it a Batman. And I simply responded, okay, but I thought gargoyle or some other mythical creature. I was deeply affected by this beast and have carried this odd feeling that it would remember us. And this woman goes on writing this. Now, I've been reading about the sightings in Chicago, and I wonder if there's a connection. I fear that a terrible event may occur in the city. My son is in college in Chicago, and I work downtown, and I'm scared for us.
Yeah, because Mothman is always a harbinger for death mm-hmm. and destruction and things like that. So,
but I love the way she describes it as a gargoyle. Mm. I mean,
what are people seeing up there?
Exactly. What is that? I've had my niece on alert every time she gets there
yeah.
for work. I'm like, you've got to keep looking. I want to know if you see anything wild and wacky.
Yeah, go to that park where they're seeing
yes.
it and just chill.
But what, I mean, okay, but when she starts describing gargoyle, it starts making you think of Jeepers Creepers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I picture that they're seeing, this Mothman. And Mothman sometimes, I think, brings about the idea of like a fuzzy, like a moth. But that's not what, it's more like Jeepers Creepers is what they're seeing.
Yeah, right.
The Jeepers Creepers
every 26
man.
Seasons or something, he comes out or whatever the story. Does she still live in Wrigleyville?
No, now she commutes.
Oh, okay.
Now she did, but now so she lives down here now. And that's her, so she holds the line, so she just goes up there to work.
Yeah, we need to have her keep looking for
I'm trying to get some of her, find out for some of her friends and all that stuff. I'm like, I need to know what's going on.
Check out this sighting. This is pretty cool. A guy named Randy Savig of Mid-American Bigfoot Research Center was speaking recently, talking about a friend of his and an encounter that the dude's mom had.
Wait, Randy Savage?
Not Savig.
Oh, I'm like, oh, yeah, brother. Yeah, I saw Bigfoot. Oh, yeah.
He says, I had a friend get in contact with me on Facebook. Now, I knew him back when I was 16, and we went to church together. His mom's name was Christine. So all these years have passed. I was living up in Nebraska. He became my friend on Facebook, and he had seen that all the stuff I was into, like my Bigfoot stuff. And he said, Randy, I didn't know that you were into Bigfoot. He said, I need to talk to you about my mom. I said, what? Your mom, Christine? And he said, yeah. I used to spend the night with them. His mom was a blonde-haired lady, and she was very sweet and nice. I said, what are you talking about? He said, my mom claimed for years that she had seen one of these Bigfoot creatures in the late 1960s up in Idaho. He said, the whole family was telling her that she was crazy and all that stuff. And he said, I just remember, now I was only around 3 at the time, but I remembered my mom running by me and my dad and running to the cabin just screaming. So, I get her on the phone and I talked to her and I told her, listen, Christine, I've had all these terrible things happen. I've seen these creatures myself. And I know that they're out there. Brian said you had something strange happen to you. Could you please tell me what happened? She said that they were on some of her family's land up in Calais, Idaho, where they had a cabin. And she said that Brian and her husband, Garland, were fishing in a stream or river, you know. It was a shallow rock bottom river. And she was sitting with her back to the woods up a hill. They were moving downstream fishing. Brian was only 3 years old at the time, and they were talking and fishing, and she was talking with them, yelling at them and stuff. She said that she heard a slight movement behind her. She said, I heard a slight shuffle to my left, and I looked, and over my shoulder, and right there, this thing was 2 feet away from me. This was a gorilla man-looking thing. And she said, I ran away screaming and I ran down the hill. She said, I ran by Garland. I ran by Brian. I was so terrified, I couldn't even tell them. She said, I left them there. I left them to die, I guess. I had to get to the cabin for safety. She said, I'm in the cabin screaming when my husband Garland shows up and he's like, what's going on? He just thought that she saw a bear or something. She told him, no. The face of this thing was something between a gorilla and a man, and it was looking directly at me, just blinking. It had snuck right up on me. He said that she told him that she'd never told anybody other than her son or husband about this because of the way she was feeling ridicule and things. So this Randy Savage guy.
Saw a gorilla.
I guess it's really into Bigfoot. His friend saw him on Facebook. They reconnected, and he was like, hey, man, you need to talk to my mother. She had an encounter when mom was a little kid. So he reached out to her, and that was her story. So what could she have seen? Could it have been a bear, and she just, you know, for whatever reason?
No.
Thought it looked like a gorilla? Because I'm with you. I don't see how you would confuse the
two. No, because she's even talking about like a more human-like face.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I've never seen a bear and went, that looks like my Uncle Dan. Yeah, I've never seen that.
From 2 feet away from her.
Yeah, no, hell no.
So the thing snuck up on her.
Oh, yeah, they're sneaky.
Yeah, apparently so. Well, let's take a break, folks. When we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some crazy sightings of little people. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. We explore a vast array of supernatural phenomenon on this show. Each week, we talk about something else, whether it's UFOs and alien abductions, to bizarre encounters with strange cryptids, even tales of time slips and artifacts discovered that appear to be from another time, a time perhaps in the future, or maybe from a parallel universe. One subject that everyone seems to like, including myself, are tales of people coming across what can only be described as little people. You know, fae folk, elves, trolls, and even gnomes. As crazy as it sounds, people from all over the world reportedly have run-ins with these little guys, and some of the encounters are downright creepy. On today's show, I'm going to be telling you about some truly disturbing sightings of these bizarre miniature beings. This first story was sent to us by a listener recently, and it goes like this. Hello, guys. I want to send you this true story to the both of you because you both have said that you like these stories about the fae folk. First, let me give you some background on me. I am a retired, decorated police officer with over 30 years of law enforcement service. I am currently an Orthodox Anglican priest. This incident took place in July 1977 in Mammoth Lakes, California. My family was on our way to Idaho for our summer vacation, where my younger brother and I would spend the entire summer with my grandparents. We had stopped off in Mammoth Lakes, California, to get some supplies, some food, and do a little bit of exploring of the surrounding area. My little brother was 12, and I was 14 at the time. We decided to hike around the lake and follow one of the trails. We had hiked about a mile from town, and we were walking eastbound on the trail when we saw some commotion coming from some bushes to the south of the trail. My brother and I stopped, not knowing what was in the bushes.
We then observed a small man coming out of the bushes and onto the trail. He was about 1 foot tall, with a red pointed hat, a blue work-type shirt, brown pants with a belt, and brown boots. He had a white beard and red, rosy cheeks. He reminded me of a tiny Santa Claus. He stopped in the middle of the trail and looked at me and my brother. We were in shock and did not even move. He winked his left eye at us and smiled, then ran up the trail and disappeared behind a pine tree on the north side of the trail. When we snapped out of it, we ran after him, but lost him because we couldn't see him behind the pine trees. That's where he disappeared. We searched the area, but could not locate him. I asked my brother what he had seen, and he described it to me perfectly. We turned around and ran back to where our parents were and told them what we had seen. My mom broke out laughing and said, "For heaven's sakes." And Dad had a chuckle too. We both swore about what we had seen, but it was no go with Mom and Dad. During that summer, I started doing some research on gnomes and came up with quite a bit of information. I'm sure you have noticed that the sightings of the Fae folk have increased greatly over the years. One thing I need to make clear is that gnomes are not earth spirits. They are flesh and blood. They are benevolent beings. They are not immortal, although they have very long lifespans compared to humans, which it turns out is around 400 years. Some reports have said that there have been sightings of evil gnomes. This is a misidentification, and the witnesses are describing goblins, not gnomes. Goblins are around the same size as gnomes, but always wear dark clothing that is either black, brown, or dark gray. They also have pointed ears and usually are wearing small pointed hats. They are the enemies of gnomes, as well as trolls. As I said before, gnomes are benevolent, where goblins and trolls are malevolent and hate humans and all things good. Gnomes build their homes under large trees. They are skilled in woodworking, herb lore, and gathering food. They can communicate with the animals of the forest. Gnomes originally immigrated to North America with humans when they immigrated to make their homes here. They live in small colonies in the woods and forests all over North America. I've seen other strange creatures in my lifetime. I think it comes from my Cherokee, Celtic, Germanic bloodline. It makes me more in tune to see them, I believe. I don't know. It's just a theory, but I think it's a good one. Keep up the great work on your channel. I enjoy the stories that are posted, and I hope you can use this one. God bless, and have a great week. Dan, in California. Here's another one. It says, I live in Australia, and wonder if either one of you has ever heard of the Wurundjeri. I learned of them a few years ago when relating a story to a Noongar friend of mine. Now, Noongars are the main Aboriginal tribe of Australia's southwest, and in their lore, the Wurundjeri are mischievous, sometimes violent little people. My encounter happened in Perth, in the suburb of Coolangoop, in the 1980s, when I was around 6 years old. My brother, cousins, and I were playing in Black Boy Bushland, and I was hiding from them. I heard a rustling noise to my right, and I looked over to see a small Aboriginal man about 10 feet away from me. He was about 13 inches tall, with a bushy beard and wearing nothing but a loincloth. I assume he was hunting, as he had a spear notched in his woomera, which is a spear-throwing tool, and I might have disturbed him. He looked at me with angry eyes and then threw his spear, which actually sank into my foot before he, the spear, and the hole in my foot all vanished. Only the Noongars believe my story. Carl. The next story comes from a woman in California who swears that her and her daughter actually witnessed a real-life fairy, just like the ones you see in cartoons. She states, I do believe in fairies. My daughters and I rented a trailer in El Cajon, California in 2010. One morning, we were all eating breakfast in the kitchen and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a fairy floating in the air. It was a female, about 3 feet in height, sprinkling gold dust all around her. At the same time I was watching this, my oldest daughter said, "Mommy, Mommy, there's a fairy sprinkling gold dust everywhere, over by the window." My daughters and I also experienced some other unexplained phenomenon in that trailer. It was getting a little too scary for us. We only stayed living in that trailer for 10 days and moved out as quickly as we could. I think my daughters and I somehow attract the unexplained, the paranormal, whatever you guys want to call it, because we've encountered several more experiences with the paranormal that were truly scary. Thankfully, it has been almost a year that we have not encountered anything. We have seen things that no one would believe. Prayer and faith keep us safe. Danica. This next story comes from a guy in Pennsylvania who believes that he saw what can only be described as an elf. He says, "Sometime during the month of August 2004, I was at a place called Pymaterning Park in Pennsylvania, picnicking with my family. I was 10 at the time. I had wandered off alone into the nearby forest and was looking at all of the beautiful trees. I was walking around when I heard the sound of music. I followed it until I reached a clearing. Like a scene from a movie, sitting on an old stump on the edge of the clearing was a little boy. He looked like he was about 7. He had medium-length blonde hair and was playing a recorder made of wood. He must have heard me because he looked up at me. He had pointed ears and dark green eyes. He looked at me and smiled. He asked me if I would play with him. His voice was really strange, though. I told him I couldn't, and I had to get back to my family. He looked really sad for a minute, but then started smiling again, and he told me that it was okay, and he would wait until I could play with him. He then stood up and walked off into the forest. I've been back to that area several times. The clearing is still there, but the stump he was sitting on is long gone. The second or third time I went back, I left the slice of an apple sitting near where the stump was. When I went back the next day, the apple slice was gone, and in its place was a very smooth stone. Robert." This next story comes from a guy in Idaho who retells a strange encounter his father had one time while out hunting. He goes on to say, "My father was, and still is, an avid hunter. He has heard all kinds of tales through the years of what others have seen while out hunting. He said he has never seen anything, but had only one weird experience when he was around 17 years old. He was hunting for elk with his father and brothers in Salmon, Idaho, back in 1965. They had all split up to chase down an elk herd that they had spooked by chance, and my dad was sent around the mountain by himself to cut them off. It was a mildly warm day, and he stopped to rest in the shade of some large boulders to strip off some of his gear and have a drink of water. When he sat down to rest, he felt a rock zip right by his head. Now, thinking it was one of his brothers playing a trick on him, he yelled at them to stop. That's when he noticed tiny footprints in the soft dirt under his feet. And again, another rock was thrown in his direction, but this time closer. Now, my dad had always been told about the little people who lived in the rocks and crevices of mountains and hills, an ancient band of Native Americans who barely escaped from the white man. They made their home in the hills, and if bothered, would put a curse on you if you failed to heed their warnings. Feeling a chill creep up his spine, he slowly rose, gathered his things, and said in a very slow Shoshone word, 'I am leaving. I'm sorry I disturbed you.' As he was walking away, downhill, he heard the sound of very small feet slapping the rocks behind him. But being a tad bit afraid, he said he never looked back. He never told his father or his brothers and could hardly tell me for fear of me thinking he was crazy. I don't know, but I believe him." Alex. There are stories from all over the world of these little people. Whether they're duendes, gnomes, trolls, fairies, elves, whatever their name, the stories are eerily similar. Many cultures talk about how some are good and some are bad. We've even spoken about some of these strange tales with our good friend Joshua Cutchin on this program. Here's another one of these strange encounters. A man named Dan Bortko, him and his family moved to Wyandotte County, Kansas, to Liberty, Missouri, in 1948, when he was about 9 months old. His family didn't know it, but something already lived in the house on High Street. The house, a stucco bungalow, built atop a hill in the early 1920s, wasn't the only structure on that site. An old barn sat outside the two-bedroom house when the Bortkos moved there. In that house, in 1952, Bortko saw something that has haunted him since. He said, "I'll call him a troll, because that's what he reminded me of." Bortko, age 4, napped in the same room as his two younger brothers, both in cribs, when something brought him from his sleep. As his eyes slid open, he realized he and his little brothers weren't alone. He said, "I had just awakened from a nap and was rubbing my eyes when I saw it. It was an old man with a long beard, large nose, and about 3 feet tall, standing at the foot of my bed. I was astounded. The little old man wore German lederhosen and held a pipe in his hand, smoke rising from the bowl. As the troll stood looking at me, he smiled through his beard, winked, and then disappeared through the closet door." Now, although Bortko doesn't think he saw a little man again, later in his life, his mother told him he often talked about someone that no one else could see. She said, "As a child, my mother said I had an imaginary friend and I called it by its name. My mother said it sounded like a science fiction name." During this time, Bortko remembers looking out his bedroom window at night and seeing people near the old barn in the backyard. They were little people. That's what scared me. There were fairy tales, pictures, on my wall. There was a man on the mountain smoking a pipe, and this reminded me of him. As a child, Bortko, now an artist with a master's degree in photography from Southern Illinois University, once tried to capture the little man on paper. He said, "I remember doing a drawing of a picture of a man's face with large dark eyes, and my brother Bill saw the picture and started crying. Every time he saw it, it drove him out of his wits." But Bortko and his brother weren't the only ones to see trolls. In fact, another man named David Schwab, 54, grew up in Orange, New Jersey, and is familiar with tales of a similar entity. His friend Jerry saw one of these trolls in the early 1960s. He said, "I remember Jerry always talking about some kind of troll or elf or leprechaun-type critter with a rather long beard being on his steps. I met with my friend Jerry in 2009 before he moved to the Philippines, and I asked him about the story. He said that when he was a kid, he was in his backyard and was startled by a small gnome-like man with a long beard standing by his back porch. He said he had funny clothes on and a pointed hat and the whole thing. The entity was only 2 or 3 feet tall, and it just stood at the steps staring at him. This wasn't the last time the gnome made an appearance at Jerry's house, though. When Jerry was in his 20s, his 5-year-old nephew took a nap in the upstairs bedroom when the boy suddenly screamed and ran downstairs crying. When they asked him what was wrong, he said that he was woken by a small man with a long white beard that just stood and stared at him." Now, one bizarre report comes from a witness who had just moved to Puerto Rico with his mother when he was 17 years old. He claimed that one day he had gone to take a shower and suddenly heard the family dog frantically barking at something outside. It seemed that the dog was quite worked up and upset over something. So the witness got out of the shower to go take a look out the window, where he saw something far weirder than what he had perhaps been expecting. What he saw looked just like a gnome. Now, tales like this go farther back in time, and one early account of an apparent gnome comes from a town not too far from Skeleton Studios, a town known as Farmersville, Texas, in 1913. The witness, a man by the name of Silaby Latham, claimed that while he and his two brothers were out toiling away on their cotton farm, one day their dogs began to bark and bark and snarl off in the distance. The brothers thought nothing of it at first, but the barking and growling became steadily more intense and chaotic until they decided that it probably was best to go see what was disturbing the animals so much. When the oldest of the brothers, Clyde, went to have a look, he shouted to the others that he could see that the dogs were upset by a little man. When the others ran to go see what he meant, they were purportedly met with the sight of a diminutive humanoid, only around 18 inches tall, and a dark green in color, and wearing a large, pointed hat. And the thing was just standing there, with its arms at its side. Silaby would describe the scene as, "He didn't seem to have any shoes, but I don't really remember his feet. His arms were hanging down just beside him, like they was growed down the side of him. He had on a kind of hat that reminded me of a Mexican hat. It was a little round hat that looked like it was built onto him. He didn't have on any clothes. Everything looked like a rubber suit, including the hat. He just stood still. I guess he was just scared to death. Right after we got there, the dogs jumped him." Now, apparently the dogs ravaged the little creature, tearing it apart. Although, of course, the body has become lost to the mists of time, as is often the case in these accounts. Another early report from 1919 was told by a witness named Harry Anderson, who claimed that one night, when he was 13 years old, he had seen a procession of around 20 tiny men marching along in the moonlight. The strange little people were described as having pale white skin and wearing leather knee pants and suspenders. The odd little humanoids were walking along in a single file line and allegedly chatting with each other in some unintelligible language. Although Harry was terrified, the creatures marched right on by him and didn't even seem to notice that he was there at all. So, what are we to take from these incredible sightings? What are these creatures? And what do they want from us? Perhaps nothing. Perhaps nothing at all. Maybe they just want to be left alone. At least that's what it seems like to me. I don't know, but I find the topic super interesting. The next time you're out on a hike, pay attention. Listen for the faint sound of a flute being played. Or be mindful, perhaps, of little tracks in the dirt. Till next time, stay open-minded. You never know what you could be missing. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I love the sightings of the little people, the fae folk, the
gnomes. Still my favorite thing.
Yeah, and there's not a whole lot of shows that actually talk about this. And so that's why I like to bring it up from time to time. I know that people write in constantly about it because they really enjoy the stories. I do too. Very fascinating.
I always wonder this is, you know, you get all these sightings of Sasquatch. We get all these Bigfoot sightings. We get a bunch reported to us now. I mean, there's people sending us all kinds of stuff. But, and we still get a bunch, you know, I wouldn't say a bunch, but we get several little people sightings. I wonder why there's not more. Are they better? Or, you know, are they sneakier? You know, is it, I don't know. I wish they were a few more of those sightings. That's, like I said, that's the one sighting I think I would love to have.
That's me. Yeah. The little outfits.
Yeah.
The caps, the pipes.
Yeah.
The whatever, you know, I'd like to have one of those encounters. I think the large gorilla man or the dog man, especially. Something like that. No, that would terrify me.
Yeah, I'm out of that. I don't need any of that in my life.
But the little person, that to me, that seems kind of peaceful. That'd be like, that's pretty cool, man. I actually saw
them. Well, and it's like we've discussed. It always seems like the people that have these encounters with them are almost like they're in tune with nature at the time they do it.
And it seems like there's different beings, too. Like, like the gnomes or whatever seem to be kind of playful or nice, mm-hmm. where like the elves or the trolls.
Even the brownies, they seem to be a little bit more mischievous than some of the others.
Yeah, a little bit of tricksters, yeah, or dwendies, yeah. and stuff are kind of like, they got a little cane. They just seem to be kind of minding their own business, like, uh-oh, a human sees us,
yeah,
and then they just kind of scatter.
There's something it's about just, it. I just love the idea of it, I guess, is what it is, too.
I do, too. And during the break, you were telling me more about Randy Savage. You said that dude was really an incredible athlete.
He was a good baseball player, yeah, whenever he started.
I had no idea about his baseball career.
Yeah, he was right out of high school. He played baseball. He signed with the St. Louis Cardinals and actually played, I think, several years in the minor league division before he played the whole thing. And that was the story that was we were laughing about is he got injured. He was a catcher. He got injured at home plate. And injured his right shoulder, his throwing hand. And he learned to throw left-handed due to that injury so he could continue to play minor league ball.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, to learn how to throw with the opposite arm in just a couple months.
And to still be able, and not just that, but at the level he had to learn to do it.
Yeah, yeah. You got to throw guys out, you know, stealing bases and stuff like that. That's pretty incredible. Yeah,
exactly. Well, because he started his, he did all this. He was even wrestling, I believe, at the start. I believe 73, 74 was whenever he was in all that. So, the baseball. So he was still doing baseball when he started wrestling in the off season, and that's kind of what got him into the whole thing.
That's pretty interesting.
I used to be big into it, man, when I was younger. I mean, like, I don't know, 13, you know, right in there, 12 to 14 years old.
Yeah.
I was huge into the WWF. And no, I'm not going to call it the WWE. It was the WWF whenever I watched, because it all started whenever we were kids of the championship wrestling that was over in Fort Worth. When the Von Erichs was over there,
right,
and all that stuff, you know, and that's when it all. So I used to keep up with a lot of that stuff.
I want to say it seemed bigger then than now, but I don't think that's true. I think the sport itself is actually bigger now. But for whatever reason, when I was a kid, it seemed more. I guess it's because
you were consumed with it.
There's so many more channels now. There's so many more things going on. There was no UFC. There was none of that.
No.
So I remember being a kid. I would go, and I remember being real young and seeing like Kabuki and Kamala and stuff.
All of
George
them,
Animal Steel eating the turnbuckles.
Yes.
It used to terrify me as a kid.
Randy Savage, though, was always one of my favorites.
Yeah, he seemed like
always one of my faves, man.
And I guess he was the promoter for Snap Into a Slim Jim for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, he did all that stuff. Had a heart attack behind the wheel. Died.
Didn't even know he had a heart problem, they said.
Never, didn't even know it. Yeah, 2011, he passed away driving his Jeep. Wife was in the car with him, the whole thing.
Did it kill her?
Nope, didn't even hurt her. She had minor injuries. See, that was the whole thing that was crazy about it, is they're like, oh, well, he got killed in a car wreck. They're like, no, man, no. And that's what she's like, no, we had on our seatbelts. I mean, it was like minor injuries is what it was. But then they looked, and he had 90% blockage in his heart and all that stuff. Look, they beat their bodies up.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah,
those guys that do all that stuff and all, you know, they're like, oh, he's got a drug problem. Yeah, you would too.
Yeah.
If you get as little sleep and had to go to the gym as much as they did to keep their physique to look like that, and then beat their body up like that, you would have a problem too. I mean, it's more work than most people, you know, you laugh at it because it's choreographed, but it still doesn't take away the impact. It doesn't take away the damage to your body, the pain. It doesn't take away the dangers of it. Just because it's choreographed doesn't mean it's easy. You know, that's where I think people get it confused, because it's,
yeah, it's not
the
easy.
The beating they put on their body, and as athletic as those people are, especially at that size, you learn more as you really get into fighting that lots of times it's hard for big men to move as fast as small men. It's not, but you see some of those guys that are such athletes. It is, and wrestling is hands down one of the most athletic things you can watch people do.
Yeah,
you're talking guys that weigh 280 pounds, be 6'4", flying through the air. Other ones are catching them, and they're spinning and flipping Rey Mysterio Jr. style. I'm like, get out of here, man. Come on. Of course they're athletes.
That's like the linemen you see like in the NFL.
Yes.
You're talking about guys that are over 300 that can move that quick.
4.7s?
Yeah.
You're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, almost none of those guys live long.
No.
I mean, it very rarely is a guy that was over 300 competing in the NFL or college football lives to he's 80. Just doesn't
brightest
happen.
Flame burns quickest, my friend.
That's the way it seems,
mm-hmm.
right? Speaking of flames and hard and beating things, have you been working with your any forging?
No. Well, I have been couch forging like crazy.
Have you?
Couch forging like crazy. Yeah, I've been I've consumed massive amounts of ironworking and metalworking and knife smithing videos, like to a point that my wife's like, oh, great, you're obsessed about something else again. That's awesome. Yeah. Did you watch the fights this weekend?
I did, yeah.
And?
I was impressed. I didn't think that Weidman was going to win because I was like, man, he's lost, I think, 3 in a row.
Yeah.
But he out-wrestled the guy for sure. Caught him in a head and arm.
Yeah. It was a good fight.
It was
good cards. That was good cards all the way around. The Jimmy Rivera fight was good.
Yeah, it was. I was impressed. The Patrick Cummins fight was good.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys battled.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a battle.
I'm okay with the full 3-round or 5-round decisions if it's a war.
It's a war. Those guys were bloody.
If they're just, they're countering one another, it's the whole thing. But whenever it's just kind of a dull, like both of them are almost when they give each other too much respect and it kind of gets lulled, that's when I kind of, and I'm not even mad when they go to the ground. I'm just as excited as they are when they're throwing punches, because I'm like, I got to see what these guys are going to do.
Yeah, I was watching the promos during the break, and it was showing DC and John Jones.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready, because I think DC's delusional if he thinks he's going to win that.
We've been talking about this like crazy.
John Jones is no joke.
No.
And DC, for some reason, forgot that he beat him, that he lost to him already once.
The only loss John Jones has had is a no contest whenever he Matt Hamill beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Because of an illegal strike.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
John Jones should be 100% undefeated. And he's probably going to put a beating on DC.
I wonder what the odds are going to be. I wonder what the Vegas odds are on that fight. I bet it's pretty good.
I bet it's pretty good. Look, that card next week is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. And people, please stop sending me emails about the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Everybody wants to know my opinion. My opinion is it's a hype. It's a super hype. It's not really a real fight.
Watching.
I think both, even the fighters know that. I think that they probably don't have any disdain or animosity against each other. I think it's all an act to sell
it
tickets.
Does seem a bit,
and God bless them, because, hey, look, they're going to get paid. But I don't think
if they paid me that much money, I'd punch you right now.
$400
yeah.
I'd punch you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not going to watch the fight.
I'm not going to spend $100 for that. Like I said, if something crazy groundbreaking happens, I'll know about it instantly.
Yeah.
On social media, and then I'll go buy it.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything groundbreaking is going to happen. I think you're going to see it go. I think it'll be a decision, and I think Mayweather will win like normal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Conor's got power. Yeah. He could knock him out. It's a fight. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
But you're talking about going against one of the guys that's one of the best defensive fighters of all time.
Ever. Probably.
And no one's ever beat him ever.
Yeah.
So. I don't know the odds.
It's interesting.
What the odds are on that fight?
Well, it's interesting, and I like the way they try to play it up, and I like the way all the analysts come in and talk about it and weigh in on the boxing side and weigh in on the MMA side. I like all that. But at the end of the day, the truth is it's an MMA guy fighting the best boxer ever in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it really boils down
to. If the shoe was on the other foot and it was an MMA fight, I would be totally, it would be Mayweather doesn't have a chance.
And I probably wouldn't watch that fight either.
Why? What's the point?
I saw what Randy Couture did to James Toney, and he took it easy on him. So I'm like, look, I'm guessing Mayweather doesn't have takedown defense. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's not a really, really good at wrestling, and he probably doesn't know
reading,
a whole lot about stop.
I think he likes to beat up women.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, there's lots of reasons why I'd like to see him lose. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just not going to watch it.
Right.
But I am going to watch next week's.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a great one.
That's going to be a great one. Speaking of great ones, folks, all of y'all are great ones. We have the greatest listening family. We get so many emails
and so much
stuff of people just talking about how much they appreciate it. We appreciate that. We appreciate y'all, man. There are days sometimes that me and Kyle are like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, there's like everybody goes through it. Like it works. Sometimes you have down days and you don't know what you're going to do. But it's those type of emails that it just puts a smile on your face when you're having a down time, because I know how much y'all enjoy it. And just so y'all know, we enjoy doing it for you. We really, really enjoy the interaction with everybody, the whole thing. Sometimes it's too much. It takes us a while to get to messages, takes us a while to get to emails sometimes, stuff. We're sorry. We're doing all that. We got life going on, work going on, and we're trying to balance all this. One day, this is what we're going to do full time, and we'll be able to put a lot more effort into it to interact with you guys. You know, and that's something else I want to talk about. Any of y'all that's around here in this whole area, shoot us an email, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com, or send us a message on Facebook. If you would be interested in later on this year, I'm thinking, you know, October sometime when it kind of cools off, to do a meetup. People have been asking about that. What about we do a spot over in the Metroplex somewhere? We pick an area to all meet up, like a place with drinks and food and whatnot. We might even call up Nick and Lyle, see if they want to come over there with us. We all kind of have a little get-together. Just kind of like, you know, the fans of the show, if y'all want to all hang out or whatnot. It's up to y'all. I'm going to leave it up to y'all, to the emails, to the whole thing. We're down. It's whatever, whichever. you know, we're not going to just put one on and then three people show up. That would just be disheartening. I'd sit in the corner and cry. I'd be like, oh, that's all right. Well, thanks, y'all, you know. But if y'all are interested in it and y'all, you know, there's enough people want to get together and do it, we may end up putting something together like that. It'd be fun.
That'd be pretty fun. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Let's not forget about our sponsors, Gaia.com, G-A-I-A.com. Sign up today and get your first month for only 99 cents. But you have to use our code, folks. That's GAIA.com/expanded perspectives. And Book of the Month. Get your first book for only $10 by going to bookofthemonth.com/expanded. And Dollar Shave Club. For a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Kava's Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. But you have to go to dollarshaveclub.com/expanded. Don't forget, folks, if you want more of Expanded Perspectives, there's always Elite. You can go to the website and sign up for Elite, and you'll get access to an additional show every Friday, including the entire back catalog. You can follow the show on all forms of social media. You can email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 817-945-3828. Cam?
Yes, sir.
You going to the movies this afternoon?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking when we get done, I'm going to wrap it up. I think I'm going to go watch Dunkirk.
That's pretty good. It looks cool. I think it was shot with 70mm film or some special way that they haven't shot in a long time. And it's supposed to give it a really authentic look. Talks about it's going to be really like brighter and draw you in. So, once again, I really like that genre of war movies. World War II, for whatever reason, I really like
that. Yes.
So I'd like to see that, too. I don't know if I can talk my wife into going with me, though.
Yeah.
So I'll probably have to wait till it's out on iTunes for rent.
Yeah, she's not going to go with you to go watch that. Like, get out of here with that idea. My wife's not going with me to watch it. So.
Yeah, well, that's just the way it works out. Most of the time when I go to the movies, it's to watch like Despicable Me 3 or something like that.
Right? Yeah.
I'm not hating. I like those movies. I hope everybody has a good week out there. For you Elite members, we'll be speaking to you on Friday. For everybody else, be careful. We'll talk to you again on Monday. I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Look out for one another. Peace.